First Fruits, an Apostolic Perspective. Chapter 15. Plentiful Barns and Overflowing Vats. In terms of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, when we honor the Lord with our wealth and first fruits, the resultant manifestation of the Lord's response is described in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10, namely, plentiful barns and overflowing vats. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Those who honor God will be honored by God. Those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30b. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 describes a twofold blessing on the giver of first fruits. A. Plentiful barns. Barns is the Hebrew word asamim, meaning places for heaping together. Crops from a successful harvest were heaped up in barns for the present and future food supplies. The promise of the Lord here is that these places where we heap up supplies to provide sustenance for our physical and material well-being will be filled with plenty. This applies to present and future needs. In Hebrew, plenty is saba, denoting satiety or plenty. This speaks of an overflowing abundance. It not only indicates an abundance, fullness, or plentifulness, but also absolute satiation and satisfaction or contentment. The Hebrew word for filled is male, which not only means to be full, to be complete, to fulfill, to finish, but also to satisfy. One of the promises on obedience in the well-known chapter comparing obedience versus disobedience is, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hands to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8. Symbolic application. Barns stored grain that was used to make bread. This has reference not just to your physical needs, but also to the Word of God, the bread of life. You will always have grain, the grace vested in God's Word that is able to build you up. You will receive spiritual sustenance and nourishment from the Word of the Lord. B. Your vats, in brackets presses, will overflow with new wine. The promised blessing in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, is that your vats, in brackets presses, will burst with new wine. Vats, or presses, refers to wine presses. A wine press was a stone vat in which grapes were pressed, releasing its juice. Each vineyard typically had its own wine press in the form of a square basin. Grapes were heaped up in the wine press and then crushed by men and women who leaped and danced on the crop. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 33. The juices flowed out from the vat and were collected in clay jars or new wineskins. Presses indicate the means by which the grapes were converted to grape juice and then ultimately to wine. Without the press, there would be no conversion to juice nor wine. In other words, the press indicates the means by which the fruit of our labor is put to further and greater usefulness or productiveness. Note the emphasis on new wine in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. The primary difference between new wine and fermented wine is that the former is produced by a vine and the pressing in the vats, and the latter by a process of fermentation. Isaiah 65 and verse 8 indicates that the new wine is found in the cluster. So new wine is unfermented grape juice, that is, that which is found in the cluster. New wine is the pure blood or juice of the grape, whereas fermented wine is the product of a fermentation process rather than the product of a vine. The one who gives first fruits can thus appropriate for himself not only financial well-being, in brackets, barns filled with plenty, but is also promised a blessing on the productive use of their finances, such that many needs will be met. Implied in this whole idea is that God will bless anything or any means used by the person to convert one thing into something that would be of greater value and usefulness. In other words, any engagement in the workplace or at creative, entrepreneurial, or business endeavors will be crowned with success. New wine, naturally speaking, is used to describe wine that has just started a fermentation process toward a more mature state of good quality wine. The fermentation process is initially quite volatile and potent. This is why new wine cannot be put into old wineskins. The wineskins will burst, being unable to contain the intensity of the fermentation process. Hence, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, a promise is made to the giver of first fruits that the rate of change, particularly in the earliest stages of a process of production, will be intense and accelerated. He who offers first fruits will walk into certain realms of reward, blessing, and heightened productivity that is usually associated with a long process of development or maturation, but he does so in an instant or within an extremely short period of time. Hence, acceleration. Symbolic application. Both water and wine are symbols of God's word. Water is symbolic of the cleansing dynamic and characteristic of the word of God. John chapter 15, verse 3, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Wine is symbolic of the revelatory or illumination dimensions and effects of God's word. In John chapter 2, Jesus converted water into wine. The water of the word becomes the wine of the word. That is, the cleansing dynamic in God's word is the basis for its revelatory or illuminatory potential in our lives. The more we are cleansed by the water, the more we see through the wine. The wine of revelation from the word has a positive, intoxicating effect on our entire perception, behavior, and lifestyle. And we begin to live our lives being highly influenced by the quality of the revelation we receive. Our spiritual sight, perception, or comprehension is like that of Judas, namely, eyes red with wine, that is, brilliant or darkly flashing in a good sense. Genesis chapter 49, verse 12, the King James Version. The giver of first fruits is ideally postured to access greater revelation from the Father. Revelation, in brackets wine, will burst forth and overflow in your life. This revelation will affect your spiritual sight and will condition your outward behavior. Jesus said that if you are unfaithful with handling money, how can God entrust to you the true riches of the kingdom? The relationship between financial giving and the degree of spiritual sight or revelation is hinted at by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, and explained more in chapter 20 of this writing. Melchizedek, a priest of God, functioned as Abram's spiritual leader and served him bread and wine. Abraham honored Melchizedek financially with his tithe from the huge spoil he attained after defeating the alliance of kings who had taken Lot captive. Bread is symbolic of the nurturing quality of God's word. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Although only recorded once in Scripture, in Genesis 14, this exchange of bread and wine with pronounced blessings and the giving and receiving of the tithe was probably a regular occurrence between Abraham and Melchizedek. The infrequency with which something is referenced in Scripture does not necessarily indicate it was infrequently practiced. John chapter 21, verse 25. The point to highlight is this. The grace of God is imparted through the speaking forth of God's cleansing, nurturing, maturing, and revelatory word. This process is facilitated in a culture where God is honored through his representative leaders receiving honor on God's behalf. Tithes preserve the harvest which first fruits anticipate and activate. As indicated earlier in this writing, first fruits and tithes are a powerful duo, working hand in hand. Tithing brings a preserving and protective dynamic on your finances and every other category of your life. One of the blessings of tithing is that the devourer, representative of Satan, will be rebuked by God, the Lord of hosts, himself. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Two specific works of the enemy against your life will be rebuked. And these rebukes by the Lord against the works of the enemy are intended to ensure the twofold first fruit blessings promised in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. A. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11a. He shall not destroy the fruit of your grounds. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. Your barns filled with plenty. The word destroy suggests a corrupting or decaying influence upon crops or harvest. Satan's intent is to reduce or completely obliterate our financial blessing. Farmers whose fruits of the ground were destroyed would be devastated. Their fields were fruitful and productive and would come to harvest, but they could not partake of and enjoy the fullness of the fruits of the harvest if the devourer destroyed the fruits of the ground. God wants us to enjoy all the rewards of our labor and to be well nourished and economically sustained. Concerning tithing, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29, KJV, says, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Tithing prevents the fruits of the ground from being destroyed. Therefore, the barns are filled with plenty, as promised because of first fruits giving. B. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11b. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. KJV. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. Your vats overflowing with new wine. A vine is a plant on which grapes grow. Fruit cast before the time refers to grapes that fall off the vine before the time of harvest. They would fall to the ground and not be used. This too indicates that the person, the owner of the vineyard, does not enjoy the full potential fruit of his labor. All the time and energy spent in tending the vine for a harvest of ripe, juicy grapes is in vain and wasted. Now the blessing of God here is that your vine will cast her fruit at the right time and season in which it could be put to further productive use. Example, the production of grape juice, wine, and other related products. The preserving dynamic of tithing in that vines will not cast their fruit before the time will ensure the blessing of the first fruits by your vats overflowing with new wine. You will see the expected positive result or outcome attendant with every financial seed sown. The blessed man of Psalm 1 brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Psalm 1 verse 3. leaves that usually wither in the dry autumn season are indicative of general national economic depression or recession. But even in these economically difficult periods, the leaf of the Son of God who meditates on and obeys God's principles in His Word does not wither. May this be true of you and I. The relationship between the tithe and the first fruit. In chapter 3, we have already noted the following. The tithe looks back in time to see what God has done, and so honors Him for that. Whereas first fruits look forward into time, in faith, to what God will do in the future. Tithing looks back to your financial past. First fruits look forward to your financial future. First fruits anticipate and activate a future harvest. Tithes protect that harvest. These principles are also demonstrated earlier in this chapter, as already indicated in this writing in chapters 8 and 14. The Levites replaced the entire nation of Israel, in brackets, the other 11 tribes, as God's first fruits. The Levites always had a representative character and quality. If we consider them as first fruits, and they gave tithes in and through their prophetic positioning in Abraham, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, then we could say that first fruits gave tithes, in a manner of speaking. The implication, amongst other possible applications, is that one should tithe off the harvests that result from one's faithfulness in giving first fruits. Also implied is that one is only able to tithe because one has a harvest, which was guaranteed by the offering of the initial first fruit in that period. Selah. Reflect. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 are key verses, citing plentiful barns and overflowing vats as two blessings on first fruits. Consider both the natural and spiritual application of both these and the degree to which they are evident in your personal life. Point 2. Compare the timing of and blessings on first fruits and tithing. Can you observe the powerful interaction between the two forms of giving in your life?